Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as...
There is no pride without black liberation.
Black Lives Matter. Fuck the police.
Fuck off, TERFs. You're not welcome here.
All cops are bastards. And yeah, fuck J.K. Rowling.
Fuck J.K. Rowling and defund the fucking cops. Happy pride, motherfuckers.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's good?
Not like a crazy amount, but we're gonna try to make it a good show anyways. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, it's pride, and I don't know if we give a fuck about that right now. I think other things matter a lot more right now.
Yeah, I would completely agree. It doesn't feel like pride. It doesn't feel like, you know, how I would normally feel around this time.
I think, like, this is closer to, like, the actual origins of pride. You know, like, pride started as a riot. It was a protest. It was about fighting against police brutality. And it feels very much alive in the real spirit of pride right now. So I think we're actually closer to the origins of that feeling right now, that anger, that frustration. We're all there right now. And I think that's a beautiful thing. But it also can be kind of, like, overwhelming and kind of... you know, a little, it can kind of fuck with your mental health too if you just feel a little out of whack and you already have depression, so this shit can kind of suck. So I've been struggling. How have you been?
It's been, I don't know, it's been like different, like from week to week. I feel like, I don't know, it's hard to explain how I'm feeling. I feel like the best way to explain it is through talking about like media right now, because that's to me, I've just spent almost all my time trying to stay informed and to further my education on everything that has been going on and everything that happened even in the past. Like, I was watching this documentary on that's on Netflix right now. It's called 13th. David DuVernay's involved with it. I think she executive produced, and I just remember, like, immediately it's when it begins, it starts talking about how media, and there's like a specific film that they talk about, a character back in the day, this was when like slavery got abolished, but it characterized black people in such a negative light that it just went on to have such dire consequences for everybody. And like, it led to all these horrible things. Like, just one movie empowered all these racist white people to just keep doing horrendous things. And you know, it just kind of reminded me of why we do what we do on the podcast, which is like just trying to really show people how all this representation stuff, like, it sticks with people, how it like can be really negative or really positive depending on the people making it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, our whole thing is, like, is this propaganda? Who is this for? Like, another good documentary is, there's a Toni Morrison documentary. I think it's on Amazon Prime or Hulu, ironically, on Prime. But it's where she talks about, like, white gays and what racism is, and she defines it so well. It's an interview with the now, we know, a sexual predator, Charlie Rose, but you can find it on YouTube. And I go back to Toni Morrison whenever I feel, you know, why am I doing this, right? Like, what is the point? And she's a constant reminder to think about, you know, white gays, G-A-Z-E, you know, like, who is this for? What does racism do? How does, you know, centering blackness, what does that do for the culture? What is centering, you know, whiteness? Who are you doing this for? And I think it helps a lot to center myself and center why I do this and why we continue to like dismantle racism in media, try to dismantle propaganda in media, and try to give y'all the real, like, what does this mean? What does it do to a culture when you fucking look at it too long? Like, why are there only black cops in movies? Like, why are men only allowed to be black cops? Like, there's this incredible podcast where they completely talk about like the history of black men in movies and why they're only accepted and palpable to the white mainstream America if they're police officers. And that was a really interesting thing. I gotta find the link to that because I can't remember the podcast right now because I'm fake, but it's really good.
Yeah, I mean, media, it's making a difference, especially right now, that most people are abiding to, not most people, a lot of people are abiding to quarantine still, and they'll watch like the 13th, for example, and then they'll like get really inspired by these people and they start to do their research, and then now all of a sudden everybody's like, Angela Davis is a lesbian. And then the other half are like surprised that she's alive, which is like wild, like that, you know, they're like, oh, we're alive and at the same time as this incredible pioneer, this amazing woman, Angela Davis, who, you know, was on our team, you know, whatever.
I know, one of the baddest bitches. And I mean, I guess you should have known she was always talking about queer liberation as well. And I just thought that was normal. You know, like I was like, yeah, everyone does that, right? Like,
But no.
no.
But
I didn't hear
unfortunately not.
Stokely. Yeah, I didn't hear Stokely Carmichael talking about, like, yeah, queer liberation is black liberation, same shit. Like, I mean, none of these people were talking about that. So I guess should have always known. But I mean, also, she doesn't present straight, but I mean, no one did in the 70s, not even the dudes. So. But, you know, shout out to Angela Davis being, you know, also a lesbian. And go fucking read Freedom is a Constant Struggle. It's just like a collection of her essays. Glow recently finished reading it. I haven't finished it. I'm fake. But I've been reading that. And you can read some bell hooks. She dismantles and deconstructs, like, gender and blackness. And I think that's super dope. I recommend going to Haymarket Books. We did that earlier with the friend Noelle. Go to Haymarket Books. Don't go to Amazon to buy your Black Liberation books because you're just giving a billion, a true, almost a trillionaire more money. So please give your money to Haymarket Books and get use these resources that are available. And if not, go to your local fucking library. They have online resources. Call your local library bay and get informed. It's all there, you guys. Like, there's so many PBS specials that aren't biased, that aren't for this, you know, white liberal gaze. They're just making it for people to know and learn. There's this incredible like Dutch documentary where they interview the black people on the black experience during the 60s, 70s and what it really meant to be a black person within that time, if y'all didn't know. So there's just so many things out there, you guys. Just Google that shit. It's all there. Donate, give your money to your local, like, fucking black community activists. Do your research, but give them those money. I mean, there's so many things right now. If you don't have money, there's a playlist on YouTube that you can play, and it will donate the fucking money just based off the ads. So we'll also put a link for that. It's all there, you guys. And if you don't have money, just repost, sign these petitions. Dude, did you see that, like, the KKK isn't even, like, deemed a terrorist group? I mean, I knew it, but I didn't. I
I've been
just.
new that, yeah, and it's really frustrating. Like, fuck, like, how are you gonna deem Antifa like a fucking terrorist? Or, oh, we have them such ignorance leadership right now. It's so horrible.
I mean, and I have no hope for the future either, because if you think Joe Biden's any different, like, lick my ass from the back, right? Like, not gonna happen.
Joe
He's
Biden's campaign
exactly
is
the
trying
same.
so hard right now, talking about
To
like,
seem like
oh,
they're
we're gonna
different.
defund the police. Who gave you that
He
idea?
just said he wouldn't, like, 2 days ago. Like, what makes you think he would
Yeah.
change his mind? Like, I don't know. Voting, protesting has been the answer. So many things are happening now. I think Dallas should be having some kind of vote today saying whether they're gonna defund the cops or not. I don't know. We're finding out. There's this beautiful, beautiful fucking giant temporary mural that was outside of Dallas City Hall, and it's fucking beautiful. And there's just so many things of solidarity. Our fucking graphic designer Desiree put up a mural, with all the names, as many names as she could put, of the Black Lives lost to police brutality, you know? And I mean, seeing it in person, like, I really felt really fucking emotional. And driving through downtown where everyone had their windows boarded up and they're writing the names of the victims of police brutality on them, dude, like, it renewed me in a way that I didn't think it would. I was so fucking depressed, dude. And I went down there and I just got renewed. I got energized and I felt like I could really just go back into this. And I'm gonna need to go out there, you know, and be part of it. But it's just been hard, dude. But yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
everyone's gonna
fuck.
have their own way of like trying to figure out like how to get out of a slump, because you know doing the same thing every day is not It's not what it is. Personally, if you're just looking for more media, actually, because the most recent season of Queer Eye is like got some crazy like colonization vibes to it. They're like pretending to be on the Mayflower. Queer Eye's PR team is on furlough or something, I don't know. But if that's the kind of vibe that you're looking for, like something that's queer and something that's like life transformational and you need a good cry, I highly recommend that you skip Queer Eye and you go over to HBO and watch We're Here, which is three drag queens, Eureka, Shangela, and Bob the drag queen, my personal favorite, going and like dressing people up in drag who
and Eureka.
Yeah. Going and dressing people up in drag in like these really small towns that are not queer friendly, not black friendly, not like anything friendly, and they're really like facing these really tough things just to get the heart out and just to get the word out and just to make a difference. And just, I'm sorry, but they're doing so much more than Queer Eye thinks they're doing. So
yeah,
We're Here on HBO. Please watch it, please support it. It's only on its first season and that made me cry for days. So
yeah, the feelings were there. I mean, you get to see like real interactions between them and these middle America Trump supporting ass motherfuckers that we see all the time, but
it's still different. Centering trans people and queer people and yes, people who are trying to do better and learning. And I think
they're open to it.
That's a so new cool thing, not just in that show, but in like our lives right now. I think is people becoming opening to changing their minds about shit they were ignorant about in the past. And maybe it's not everyone, but some people, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they're changing. You know, it's small doses that they're changing these people, and it's really beautiful. I really liked it a lot. I mean, they center everybody: trans people, fucking lesbians, fucking everybody, straight dudes.
Yeah, the works.
Dressed in drag, it's good stuff. What else have you been watching? I mean, you know what it surprised me this quarantine is that Rami came out and season two was queer in some small way. And have you seen it? Have you seen season two of Rami?
No, I've had a bad taste in my mouth ever since I found out that they fired all their women writers from the first season. So I'm still, ooh, I'm sorry, I'm still a little, I know people have been talking about it and they're saying there's good things and they're saying that there's bad things. But like firing all your women from your team after your what? First season.
I didn't know that.
Rami, do better. I don't know.
Did he rehire women? I'm confused.
Yeah, I think he ended up hiring one or two other women for the second season. But I don't know. I've heard a lot of stuff. But
well, I mean, his day will come as well. I didn't know that. That's crazy. I didn't.
It's like one of those things where I really want to watch it because I like, you know, stuff with like their culture that's real and raw and authentic. But you know, not everybody's perfect.
Yeah, he's definitely not perfect, and that's what that whole show is about. But season two, give it a shot for other people. I didn't know that. Homecoming came out, and you get to see Janelle Monae be gay for like 2 seconds, but it's worth it because
is we've it been different waiting. Every season, like a different lead every season type of thing.
I guess they. I didn't even watch the first season, and I honestly didn't feel like I missed anything. I so feel it like might I connected be like the one dots. Of those.
Like
no, it was continuous. A lot of people said that you need to watch season one to understand season two, but I don't think I didn't, and I understood it, and the point wasn't lost on me. And anything to see the other lead that is her girlfriend. She was also in Watchmen. I can't remember her name, and she's amazing actually. But yeah, it was actually very fucking good. Me and Glow binge watched it in like a day or two, so. Homecoming is also surprisingly gay and black woman-centered. It's not perfect, but it's great. So that's been shocking for me as well, that you know that we're getting small. We're getting fed in very small ways. So
for sure. I think that's pretty much it, though. We should probably start to get into like our topics of the day. We got some long banter today, but I don't know. I think before we get started, I gotta say, it was pretty, like, hard to get myself to take a break from, like, everything. But when I finally let myself, like, chill for a second, it was these two works that we're talking about today that actually let me feel joy for a bit, you know? that actually let me escape for a while. So I'm really excited to talk about this stuff today.
Oh yeah, I mean, they center joy, and that's kind of like the point of them. So I think it's super fucking beautiful that we finally get to cover it, because I saw Skate Kitchen in 2018, so been excited to fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
So as I just said, we're gonna be covering Skate Kitchen and Betty today. Two very separate works that kind of reflect each other. They're not exactly the same. They're a little bit different. POV is different. I think Betty's doing a really good job of exploring the themes that Skate Kitchen kind of could only glance at, right? So Skate Kitchen came out in 2018. It was directed by Crystal Moselle. It's starring Rochelle Vinberg, Jaden Smith, Nina fucking Moran, who plays Kurt, and a lot of other fucking amazing women that get centered. And they're also, more than anything, it's centering these women, these women of color, these black women, this Latino woman, this weird stoner gay white girl, and their very, very cool fucking friendship that we don't ever get to see. Skate Kitchen is about Rachel Vinberg, who plays Camille. She's a kind of lonely skateboarder from Long Island who, you know, wants to find her community, and she goes out to New York City. She makes friends with all these amazing fucking badass women who also skate. She finds her place, she finds her home, and she's also fucking up along the way, and her friends are there to correct her and help her. And she's not a perfect character, she's not a perfect lead, but I think that's what makes her so compelling in this movie, is just that she's kind of fucking up. She's kind of doing things wrong. Her relationship with her mother, who is also Latina and also the character from Orange is the New Black, is her mother as well. You know what I'm talking about?
She's Daya's mom.
Daya's mom. And she's speaking Spanish. And it's something very small like that that makes you kind of like drawn in and makes you feel, I don't know, I felt connected to that movie because of that, because of her mother's disapproval of her skateboarding. So it shows the crazy dynamic between her and her mother that's very real. A mother that doesn't want their daughter fucking skateboarding and going out into the city and doing God knows what. That's pretty normal. It's pretty cool. We don't get to see that, though. Not with Latinas. And then you get to see all these characters just be. And it's bringing me joy. And it's showing me that women can have joy outside of men, outside of sex. You know, it was just about friendship, about female friendships. And I don't think everyone, I don't know if everyone is like a girl, but they're maybe like femme. I wouldn't know everyone's gender expressions, you know, like Moon Bear. I'm not too sure there, but it's cool. It's interesting. I hope they like explore that. But, I fucking love Skate Kitchen, and I kind of want to talk about it in relation to Betty, which is like an extension of it. And just tell me about Betty.
I want to get into Skate Kitchen just a little bit more.
Oh, first. Okay.
Because the big difference between Skate Kitchen and Betty is probably Camille's storyline, because
yeah.
Skate Kitchen really centers Camille and her struggle. And I thought, I was reading a little bit earlier, and I thought it was really interesting that concept of that part of Skate Kitchen was like loosely based on Rachel Vinberg's real life, like her first time wandering into the city, because she's from outside of the city. And they make this like point of pointing out how like weird that is, like you're from New York or you're not, you know. And I just thought it was really cool that also that Crystal, the creator of this film, like met Nina and Rachel, which is Camille and Kurt, like on a train station, and was like, you guys are cool, and then just that's it, you know what I mean? But yeah, Skate Kitchen it's a different vibe. It has to be because of its format. I think what you'll appreciate if you're a nerd like me is that Skate Kitchen is more beautifully shot, but it's also because they have the time, right? They have these two nice long hours of you getting to see people do cool tricks at skate parks and nice sunsets and nice like rooftop views and Jaden Smith, you know,
the budget.
Yeah. So I think Skate Kitchen is like, it's just an anomaly. Like I think one of our like former guests recommended Skate Kitchen because it was just like the chillest thing, people just getting high and like chilling, and it's like you said, very like focused on being what being a femme is like, what being a girl is like, and gender expressions aside, because Kurt doesn't express herself necessarily one way. Honey Bear is Honey Bear in Betty, but she's Ruby, I think, in
Ruby
Skate Kitchen.
And then Moon Bear in real life.
Oh, she's Moon Bear in real life?
Yeah, that's her Instagram handle. Cool. That's what they call her. It's Moon Bear. That's why I was like, I think I'm going to just call her Moon Bear.
She gets like a whole different story, and her sexuality is explored a lot more in Betty. But in Skate Kitchen, like for the most part, it doesn't come up, right? But it's also like, when you told me about Skate Kitchen at first, I didn't think it was going to be so queer. But the first line out of Kurt's mouth is like, hey, you see that girl over there? She just fingered me in the bushes. Dude, when I tell you I fucking died, it's just like,
I love Kurt.
All these little lines, because like, yes, they have a lot of parts of it that are scripted, but they also have a lot of parts of it that are improvised. And those improvised parts are just like gold. They make you so happy because you just, it's almost like when some people listen to certain podcasts, it's a conversation between two people, and it's not necessarily like trying to send you a message or trying to forewarn you about something that's going to happen later. Sometimes it's literally just them bullshitting about nothing.
And that's the movie.
And you kind of need that. And I think right now it's a whole different experience from what, like right now, it's almost like, I was talking to my friends about it yesterday. I was like, this is like nothing is canon anymore. Nothing that you can really see on TV right now is canon, because like COVID hasn't happened to them. Like the current protesting, like stuff that's going on hasn't happened to them. So nothing on TV right now is canon. Everything is like a time, like a period piece right now. It's everything is honestly pre-COVID. So it's just like watching that. It's like a whole new level, because people are just fucking living and you're literally able to escape.
I mean, and on top of that, like Skate Kitchen was always an anomaly because it was showing you female friendships and it was being centered, right? Like they're centering their joy. They're centering them finding joy and building and making community with each other. You know, like Rachel Vinberg didn't have like a community until her and Nina Moran became friends on fucking Instagram, and then they met in real life. I think it was actually friends on Facebook. This is how long ago. And they were like teenagers, and they met in real life after 2 years. And it's just like, it shows you how much the need is there to create a community for women and, you know, women identified people to hang out together and just be in community outside of men. Because, you know, Nina Moran had like this TED talk where she spoke of like how alienated she felt within the male, you know, skating community, and how they ostracized her for being a girl and how they made her feel less than. And she ended up being a better skater than them, and she ended up teaching, you know, a bunch of children skating, and she had to quit her job because they weren't paying her as much. And you can feel a lot of that, you know, whatever you want to call it, those small acts of rebellion, those acts of progressive idealistic ideas about fucking feminism that like Nina Moran is reaching into. And you can see that in Betty, where she's fucking about it, you know, and she's not just talking about it, she's actively getting in dudes' faces, she's actively starting shit, which is her problem, but at the same time there's reflection and growth, and that's only something that you can do within a show versus a movie, where she was kind of glanced at, but not, you know, all the characters you found the most interesting, like Janae was kind of explored, but Indigo wasn't, and you know, Honey Bear,
Ruby wasn't either.
Ruby was, and she her stories, Camille. Yeah, and it was just about Camille, and Camille kind of sucks, you know, like her character. You know, the entire time we're watching, I just want to like yell at Camille and be like, what are you
doing? I just don't understand. Like, you're just being a frustrating teenager, right? Like, but you're also doing it wrong. But that's okay. And you get to see her fuck up. And even after she fucks up, her community just accepts her right back in. They love her again. They forgive her. Unlike the men in the community that completely ostracize her too. So she had to kind of grow and learn. And that's what I like about Betty, is that she's kind of sidelined because she kind of sucks. And instead, we get to see,
that's,
you know,
bias. I got to say to everybody, like, that's bias. That's totally.
What?
I don't think Camille sucks that bad.
Camille kind of sucks. Camille kind of sucks.
Everybody has flaws.
White Latinas, am I that interested in their stories? Not really. Like, I mean, we don't exist already, but, like, damn, she had to kind of suck, too. Like, damn, okay. This is a little bit too honest for a white Thina, right? Like, damn. But, like, damn, the white Thina's problematic? Shock, right? Like, wow. I'm so shocked right now. But, I mean, that's why I like Betty so much more, just because we'd explore these other characters, which is my whole thing. Is like, oh, look at all these other characters. What the fuck is up with them? And Betty was like, here you go, bitch. And thank you. I think it was
a narrative choice.
It just makes sense.
Definitely a narrative choice in Skate Kitchen to follow Camille's story. And yes, the other characters were a lot more interesting, which is why Betty probably came to be. I just think that, like, Camille's problematicness was a story, is the thing, that it was something to overcome and stuff. But yeah, I guess let's get into Betty.
Yes.
I made a note here because it was, something that came to mind. What each of these main characters kind of are in the stories, and it kind of translates to Skate Kitchen too. But Kurt, mm-hmm. I feel like, is really the heart of, like, these two things. Because, like, she's the one that's always very emotional about everybody being together.
Community, yeah.
And, like, how, yeah, she's the one that's just kind of, like, loves women. So it's, there's so much heart there. I think Camille was kind of made to be the face of it, more so in Skate Kitchen. And then in Betty, she's just kind of, like, she's got, like, the ultimate skate style. Like, she mm-hmm. cares less than the other people do about, like, the feminist side of it. She's more just like, skate is life, skate save my life, skate is everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Honey Bear is kind of the eyes, cause she has her camera, she's kind of like the one watching the whole thing. She's not trying to center herself, but I'm glad that they center her regardless, and she has a whole story. In Betty, they bring her up a lot more. I relate to her story a lot. I'll talk about that later. And Indigo is kind of like the vibe, because she's like very much like weed. She's like, she's this like super chill chick who just wants to zen out and like gets into stuff that she doesn't have to get into, but she's going to anyways. And
that part, yeah, oh man. Lots to say.
She's super chill, like, so I think she's kind of the vibe. And I think Janae is the voice of the whole thing, because she's the one that's like talking about the stuff in Betty, and she like, she has her channel, and she's kind of like the one that likes to advocate for Betty. And so I think she's kind of the voice of the whole thing when it comes to Betty, at least.
And her storyline was wow.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But a little background on Betty. So after Skate Kitchen came out in 2018, in August of 2019, HBO ordered 6 episodes of Betty, a series literally based on Skate Kitchen. And it went on to be produced, of course, by Crystal Moselle, who created Skate Kitchen. And from the brief, I guess, bit that I saw about Crystal, like, her film history tells me she's pretty much just one of those creators that is inspired by other people, and they're very real and very raw stories. Like, when you see the film and when you see the series, the characters are basically them. They're basically really real people. And that's what Crystal's niche kind of is. Like, there's these awkward moments and there's these conflicts. A lot of it, they aren't some big thing leading up to another bigger thing. It's just life. And she does that really, really well. But yeah, in the show, all the main actors, like we've already said, and a bunch of the minor characters come back, and they kind of keep their same personalities for the most part. And like you said, we decenter the apple of my eye at Camille. I don't hate her. I don't hate her like you hate her.
don't hate her. I just don't want to see a lot of her, which I'm great that he did that.
I
think, like,
I don't know. I just relate to her awkwardness a lot. But anyways.
Oof, yeah, and she is.
She's so awkward.
But you can't relate to her straightness. Dear God, she's so straight.
It's the one thing.
Painful.
But it's just kind of like... But I'll talk about that a little bit later, too. But anyways, Janae, Honey Bear, Indigo, and Kurt all come to the forefront. And yes. They're all very equally kind of centered. And they all have very nice and complex and intertwined stories. Yeah. And Rachel Vinberg, yeah, she's half white and half Colombian, by the way. I had to find out. Just basically Whitena.
Yeah.
Oh, I also went in because I was curious about if they've all been kind of vocal about what's going on currently, and the creator, the Betty the series Instagrams, Rachel's Instagrams, Honey Bear's Instagrams, like all of them have been speaking out, which I'm very glad to report. And they've been trying to do their part, so that's cool. Anyways, in May, just a couple months ago, or a month ago really, Betty premiered, and all of the episodes are now out, so you guys can go binge it 3 times in a row like I did. And so I wanted to kind of look into them as actors, because most of them weren't actors before this, not Nina, not Rachel, not anybody else. And I found out that they were all like very dedicated to being good at acting. They took classes just to like do all this stuff. And but, you know, obviously because these characters are sort of based on them and their lives, Crystal had to kind of give in a little bit. So she met them halfway. So from what I read, it seems like they kind of go on script and they kind of read what they got to read, and then they have like a jumping off point where it's like they've said everything that they have to say, but now they can be themselves and kind of improvise. So there's a lot of those improvised lines that, like I was talking about earlier, that are my favorite, because it's just kids being kids doing shit. I fucking love it, and you guys will too. So both of these pieces are like super heavy on talking about like specific things relating to women or people who menstruate in certain cases. Mm-hmm. It's like really real shit that like a bunch of girls talk to each other if they're just all stuck in a bedroom. Like, they're gonna talk about this stuff, and they even though most of the, like a lot of them are queer, they do talk about like guy stuff sometimes. And but it didn't make me cringe, which usually that stuff does make me cringe, but it didn't, because this time it was very honest in them usually talking about how men are trash. Like, that's real shit. And I don't know, I just love even those conversations. And like, speaking of sexuality, that isn't really assumed, because there's like a moment where everybody's like, Camille, what the fuck are you? Because Camille's gender expression isn't very feminine.
No.
She has like, and that's what I guess that's where I'm cool with her being straight, because it's like her gender expression is not like necessarily so. And I think it's important for people to not assume. And I mean, more so in Skate Kitchen, there's a certain scene where it kind of seems like most of them are kind of open about, you know, sexuality is a spectrum type of vibe. It didn't seem like everybody was super set in their ways about it. And most people didn't really, other than Camille, ever say, like, I'm into one thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think they're pretty open about that stuff. And I think it's progressive in that way. And then you also get to see kind of like the double life of a girl in a closet. You know, you really get to center that for an episode. And then you also have that storyline, which is a little ongoing. And then you also have Kurt, who is super confident, like a confident lesbian through and through. Doesn't care. It will hit on the girl doing her nails. Does not care. It's good
she
shit.
She hits on the fucking paramedic.
And the paramedic, yeah. Fucking, yeah, does not matter. They also bring into play race. Like, they'll talk about it in the way that police treat girls differently, you know? And they even have the white person of the group, the white non-Latinx person of the group, have to, like, come to terms with their privilege and have to, like, really take the time to comprehend, like, where they screwed over their friends, even though they don't feel like they did. And they
but
have
they
another...
Did.
Yeah. And they have like another plot line where they call out asshole media people trying to commercialize and profit off of blackness.
Like, oh yeah.
And all of this is through the lens of these young people and their lives, and they do it so well and so casually, and sometimes not so casually. I think that they're doing really good shit there. One of the major storylines that I think they established really interestingly, because you see it, you see them talk about sexual assault in a certain way, they establish this really long-standing friendship between a guy and a girl, and they go all the way from that to the initial defensive response that kind of happens whenever an accusation is made, because things are uncertain and shit, to believing women, to facing an abuser. And it even goes so far to that the way that abusers act afterwards, feeling sorry for themselves and trying to guilt people into helping them. Like, oof. When I saw that, the way that they like portray shutting that shit down, is that's really powerful. Like, some people really need to see that. And they even talk about like the character's feelings and how they wish that they knew what to do in those instances before. And like, the show is kind of giving you the template of what that is like, you know.
Betty just does such a great job, like, really talking about the things that are women are actually, or just like chicks, you know, anyone that identifies as a girl, like what they're going through. And that's like, it's magical. We don't get to see that. Like, we're always watching boys do that shit, or always watching men, or especially white men. And another thing that's really important that we got to highlight is that it's actually diverse, not for the sake of diversity. It's diverse in a very real way. It's diverse because the women are actually friends, and they're not, you know, all a group of white girls. They're not a group of like all white Tinas. Like, these are black women getting centered and getting front stage. And that's why I preferred Betty, because we got to see black women be centered. And I think that's really important. Because, I mean, yeah, Camille is great, but she's a white Tina, and we're used to that. And I need something to be different. I need something to pull me in that's a little bit more important. And centering black skaters, like black skater girls, that's fucking what? Give me all of that forever, because we never get to fucking see that shit. And Moon Bear, I mean, well, Honey Bear's entire storyline about being whatever, you know, they don't label themselves, and they just exist and they love. And I think it's something we don't necessarily talk about at our age, because we're so upset. Okay, sorry, that was an Amber Alert. We're so obsessed with like labeling ourselves that these Gen Z kids aren't, you know, they're just like existing and they're accepting and they're open. And I feel like Kurt is like me if I had like a bunch of group of like skater friends when I was 18, which I did not, you know, like I did not have that group of friends, but I had a different group of friends. But that's pretty fucking dope that she got to have those people. And I think it's amazing that fucking Moon Bear gets to get talked about, her storyline where she at home, she's wearing like fucking a vest and like a cardigan, and all of a sudden she goes out and she's not even, you know, she's wearing like what are they called, the nipple stickers, what are they called?
I think that was right, the stickers on her nipples. Yeah,
yes. And she just wears nipples on her stickers because you can totally be topless in New York legally. And she just has her shirt open. I mean, they just have their shirt open. I don't necessarily, I think she's a girl identified, but it's something that small and that powerful, you know, like to take control of your presentation to the world outside of your house, which is something I think all queer people can relate to, is not feeling themselves at home and feeling like themselves with their group of friends that are just kind of like these outsiders, these weirdos, but together they build community and they make this very beautiful, powerful thing, this very like strong bond of like female friendship. And I think that's super cool. Like, we never get to see that shit. Like, it's not there. It's non-existent. And to see it now in Betty, like, yes, give me more and less white Tinas. Like, I mean, they're cool, but I mean,
there's just the one. but okay.
But she's an amazing skater, right? Like, that within itself is underrepresented, under
whatever, I can't say that word, yes, underrepresented, that she's a badass skater, and we need to see more of her. So, I mean, shout out to all these fucking women, and shout out to Crystal Mozell, and Naima Chapman, I think she wrote for Random Acts of Flyness, also on HBO, and she wrote and directed, I believe, for this series as well. And I thought having black women behind the camera is just as important as having them in front of the camera. So I think Betty's doing everything right. And there's even like this random cameo from High Maintenance. The Ben Sinclair makes a cameo in the very last episode, which I think was super cool. It's a
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk is in it, and he doesn't get to come to the all girl skate sesh because he's not a girl, so he can't go. You know, like. But that was great. That was my favorite moment of when Kurt just dissed Tony Hawk. I was like, nah, bro, you can't go. You're not a girl. Bye. And I was like, word. Go off, Nina Moran. So it's just powerful. Just seeing these images. And I hope that the babies that are, you know, I feel like the babies are really changing the world. And they're going to change the world for the little kids behind them for the next, you know, 60 years of Earth that we have. So I'm really glad that they're out here changing everything. Like, shout out to them.
Yeah, I've seen this show, like, deadass, like, 3 times at least. And the first 2 episodes, I've seen even more than that. And I just haven't gotten tired of it. Like, I've watched Skate Kitchen twice, too. It's really long. But it's kind of perfect for, like, a hungover on Sunday chill vibe. just, even though, yeah, like, they don't center the characters as much. Like, you do get to see them and you get to enjoy their, like, their amazing dialogue, because that's some of my favorite stuff.
Like Kurt
beautifully shot.
Do you know Indigo? Well, I'm about to know Indigo. Was good to. Like,
yeah, it's just like I have a lot of like love for both of these pieces. I think they don't go at all into like differing gender identities. They stay pretty binary, at least vocally. Like, there certainly could be characters that are non-binary or trans, yeah, but they'd never say it or address it or even imply it. They could maybe do a little better there, but yeah, the rest of it's pretty fucking solid. I love it. I have a really soft spot for Camille because the rest of them are so confident, like Kurt, Janae, Indigo, and Honey Bear to an extent. They're all so confident, and I've never been that way. So whenever I see this super awkward white Dina like myself, I'm like, I get it.
Representation matters.
And my mom was mean to me too. Like, I don't know. So yeah, everybody's gonna find what they. I feel like everybody can find something that they love in this. Yeah. And it's definitely really, really good. You guys should watch them. No cafecitos for either of them for me.
5 bandulces for both of them. Well, I mean, Skate Kitchen, let me keep it real with you, like 4. Just because all the things that I wanted are being explored in Betty. And Skate Kitchen is great and it's amazing, but all the things I wanted are... Like, if you could combine the visuals of Skate Kitchen with the storylines better fleshed out from Betty than they mix. And I mean, did you know why they changed the name from Skate Kitchen to Betty?
Well, I know that like Betty refers to like female skaters.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I don't know why they even called it Skate Kitchen other than that being the group of the name.
I'll tell you why they called it Skate Kitchen, because it was an inside joke between Kurt and Camille, Nina Moran, and Rachel Vinberg. Rachel always said that, you know, they would hear, like, oh, women belong in the kitchen. And they're like, fuck it, we do belong in the kitchen, but the Skate Kitchen. So they called it Skate Kitchen.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's their inside joke, and then they're like, fuck it, let's just call it. They changed it to Betty because they thought it would be more, like, universal versus Skate Kitchen is, like, an inside joke versus, yeah, like, Betty is, like, a common term that they call girls at skate parks, so.
Okay. Yeah, but watch this shit. We are now going to do some Patreon shoutouts, but please watch it. HBO on Skate Kitchen is on Hulu, by the way. It's on a completely different platform. If you maybe you don't have HBO, I get it. Abby broke too, and I get it. So yeah, Skate Kitchen's on Hulu, and I hope that all Latinos go out there and check themselves. Specifically non-black Latinos, obviously.
Latinos, yeah.
Latinos, just honestly non-black Latinos, because they're like, they deadass sometimes want to be centering themselves, like, oh, well, we have problems too. The fuck? That doesn't, like, mean that you can, like, exclude Black people or this whole Latinx for, like, Black Lives Matter thing. Like, Latinx people are Black too sometimes. Like, dude, I don't know. So I just think that everybody should be checking themselves, checking their privilege, even if you're brown. Like, if especially if you're white, like, check yourself, dude.
Yeah, I mean, they act like they're the same people marching in Black Lives Matter. We're not the exact same people marching in the, you know, taking away ICE and, like, all the immigration fucking protests. The same people, and they were there, and I didn't see any of y'all's bitch asses talking really loud right now and showing y'all's ass. I didn't see y'all to fucking protest. I didn't see y'all trying to defund fucking ICE or change the law. I didn't see none of that. Y'all just love to talk right now because you're full of fucking shit and you're using your fake fucked up morality to hide behind with your racism. You're just fucking racist. It's okay. The first step is acknowledging that you're an asshole. Second step is apologizing and making amends. It's like, you know, 12 steps of, like, you know, fucking AA, you know, you got to do it. Do the work. It's okay if you're not there right now, but it's not okay if you keep hiding behind the bullshit. It's okay. Fucking learn, pick up a book, educate yourself, change and grow and be a better fucking human being. And doesn't, you know, you don't have to always be perfect, but you can get it together. You know, we're not we're not cussing out everybody, just the people who are unwilling to grow and change. If you're unwilling to grow and change, then there's no conversation here. You can lick my ass from the back, but grow the fuck up.
Yeah, like, if you're a Latino who has never faced issues or, like, felt, like, horrendously around a police officer, like, you really might, like, have a lot more privilege than you think that you have. Like, that's, I don't know, I think people don't understand that, but... this whole shit, like, where were you guys when, how come you're protesting for this but you're not protesting for ICE? People were protesting against ICE, like, yeah,
same
you
people.
Weren't
same
there.
Exact people,
you weren't there. That's mm-hmm. on you. So stop talking shit and go educate yourself. So
facts.
Patreon, your turn.
Yeah.
Thank you to all the Patreon people who are always freaking there, and thank you all for being super cool with us donating last month's funds to Homeless Trans Initiatives, to Black Visions Creative or Collective, because that's super important. And thank you for listening to us last week on our protest rants.
We had a lot to talk shit about. So shout out to all the Patreon supporters. Again, thank you so much for letting us donate our shit to places that really need it. So thank you so much for that. Aaron, I fucking love you. I owe you some fucking cereal bars. Text me. Shout out to our brother Vettel. I love you. You didn't respond to me when I sent you my Charizard onesie pic, but it's fine. Still love you. Shout out to Chrissy. Your animals on Twitter, your posts about your farm animals and your puppy. I'm glad Sugar's okay. So I just, all that keeps me going. I love all that shit. Shout out to Erica. Thank you so much for giving and donating to Two Crazy Bitches Making Shit. Thank you so much. Shout out to Glow, my baby mama now, I guess. We got a dog. I love you. Shout out to Heather. Thank you so much for donating another month. It means the world to us, really. Monty Mud, shout out to you, bad bitch. Like, the Illuminati didn't pick me either. They're fucking homophobic forever. Love you, girl. Shout out to Michelle. Thank you so much for fucking donating. You're a bad bitch. Thank you for donating for this long. Raciel, I fucking love you. If you know Raciel, you need to go fucking listen to his podcast, Shit You Don't Care About. It's fucking good just to hear people talk about, like, shit you don't care about. And it's actually very soothing. And to hear about other people's days. When I get lonely, I listen to his podcast because I miss him. And shout out to Rosaura. That you have the best fucking looks on Instagram. So just thank you so much for continuing to give these bitches money. Your fucking looks, it inspires me. I wish I had better sense of style, but you're killing it all the time. So thank you so much.
Also, shout out to Alejandra. Thank you for another month of support. Your boss, Alicia. We haven't chatted in a long time, but you've been supporting since the beginning. And as you know, we adore you. Edith, thank you so much for another month. Please reach out with anything. I know we chat every now and then. Shout out to Laura, who hasn't really talked to us, but well, you're welcome to. Mari, who's my homie chilling in El Paso. Happy late birthday. Her birthday was like a week ago.
Oh shit, Gemini.
Yeah. Mireya, thank you for supporting again. Love seeing you on the Twitter, just hanging out. And R, the very mysterious R, thank you for donating. Your help means everything. And thank you to everybody that's ever been on our Patreon, honestly. Like, even before, I get it when people stop, like, supporting because, you know, not everybody can do that. But there is, like, a couple of posts that are, like, free on there if you want to go and take a look. And for everybody else, I hope you guys are enjoying our content. We're always open to feedback.
Yeah, feel free to email us if you have anything you want to let us know. Also, you know, if any of my other exes would like to pay me through Patreon, I would definitely see that as reparations for dealing with you, and I welcome your money. All my exes, any one of you that would like to give to CYC Podcast, I welcome your money. Give me that reparations money for dealing with your crazy ass. And this does not go to my most recent ex. She's a great person. This only goes to that other one. So shout out to you for giving us money. Continue to do it. I would like to see more of it. I'm worth more than $3, though. But go off.
I would like to also consider that sentiment for my exes. Please support, please support the podcast, you know, because... I don't know. I'm pretty sure all my exes have screwed me up enough that
they deserve maybe, to give you money.
You know, at least cafecito level, guys. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. Okay.
No, anyways. You're worth the $10. You're worth $10. And this is not going to my most recent ex. She's a good person. The rest of you, though, reparations in the form of Patreon support.
Anyways. Let us know if you have any questions or if you want to chat. We're always open in our DMs at CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. We also have an email, cycpodcastmail@gmail.com, for professional inquiries. And our personal ads are mytepandamitepanda for me.
And mine is @friedbutbita on Twitter.
So go check out what we're bantering about. It's most definitely Black Lives Matter.
Okay, great. Forever.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.